Thank you. Praise God. Give me 15 minutes tonight, will you? The Lord put something on my heart this morning that I'd like to share with you during prayer time before the service. Father, God Almighty, reach into the darkest places of the heart. Places where we're captivated by questions and concerns and fears. Tonight I'm asking you to set free people. Every person, Lord, who wants to be free. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Two questions I'd like, and the testimonies tonight bore witness to this word. Two questions I'd like to answer. How do I know that God loves me? You know, there are people here tonight that you've sang that in Sunday school as a child. But you've never really understood it. I mean, when I got saved, I was 24 years old. And I remember one night, about a year later, laying in bed, and I started to cry. My wife said, why are you crying? And I said, well, I'm reading about God so loved the world, but I don't understand it. I don't feel it. I don't feel anything. How do I know that God loves me? What does this love look like? And how much does he love me? And you know, it's been a long journey, and I can honestly say today I have the answer. I know the answer. Not just in my head, but I know it in my heart. I've experienced the love of God. I walk in the love of God. I feel the love of God. I feel the love of God for you tonight. I remember one time a businessman, he might be even here tonight, came into my office, a man who worked at Wall Street, and he opened a book and he told me, he says, if you can answer these five theological questions, he says, I'll give my life to Jesus Christ. And they're all chicken and egg theology questions. You could be trying to answer these things until the Lord returns. And I looked at his questions and I just looked at him and I said, I can't answer your questions. I said, but I'll tell you one thing. I'd hate to get to heaven and you're not there. I said, because I feel God's love in my heart for you right now. And I said, are you willing to receive Christ as your Savior? And at that moment, feeling the love of God, he closed his book and said, I'm ready. Gave his life to Christ, and he's still serving God today. How do we know that God loves us? Well, he sent his Son. His Son came into this earth. He came into this world. His name was Jesus Christ. He was born into this world. He walked among us for 33 years, and he just simply did good. He was sinless, never disobeyed, never did anything that could disqualify him from innocence, in his innocence, dying on a cross and taking my place and taking your place for all the wrong things. An innocent man, in a sense, paying for our guilt. That's the beginning of the understanding of God's love. But I want to just share with you, and I don't want you to turn there. I'm going to go through the last part of Matthew 26 and Matthew chapter 27. It starts where false witnesses were raised up against him. Amazing. All he had done is good. All he had spoken is truth. All he had been is kind. And suddenly he finds himself accused of the very people that he came to be a blessing to. To display, as it was, the love of God. And they started to accuse him. And they bore false witness. They said that he did things he didn't do or said things he didn't say. He's brought before the high priest, who's supposed to represent him in the world. Ironically, as that might be, he is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. The high priest is supposed to be the representative of him. And he stands before the high priest and says, yes, I am the one, in a sense, that you're teaching the people about. I am the Son of God. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that you actually hope is going to come and set you free. And the high priest tears his clothes and says, blasphemy. He's spoken blasphemy. He's worthy of death. And so the people all around the high priest, who would be a lot of religious people gathered in that meeting, says they spit in his face. They hit him with their hands. They pushed him. They slapped him with the palms of their hands. And they said, prophesy to us, Christ, who is it that smote you? He had a really good friend at this point called Peter, who had really boasted of his loyalty. I'm with you. I'm with you right to the end. Thick and thin, no matter what we have to go through, I'm with you. And suddenly this man, Peter, is seeing what's happening. He's out in the outer courts of what's going on, and he denies him that he ever knew him. And then he denies with an oath that he never knew him. Curses and swears, as the scripture says, I don't know the man. How would you feel? Then the scripture says he was led away and he was brought before the government of that time. And they were given an option. Who would be released? You, Jesus, to the people, or a murderer whose name was Barabbas? And the people cried out, give us the murderer. Well, what are we going to do with this man called Christ who claims to be your Savior, your Messiah, your God, who's come to be your King, who's come to offer you forgiveness and redemption? And they shouted out almost in unison, crucify him. And then Pilate, the governor, who's supposed to be representing the law of that time, washed his hands of the whole thing. I'm not having anything to do with this man. But then he lets him be released to be scourged. And now the military gets a hold of him. And the military says they stripped off his clothing. They put a scarlet robe on him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They mocked him. They spit on him. And they hit him on the head with a stick. Then they let him out to crucify him. Amazing. And people passed by as he was nailed to a cross. A man who had done nothing wrong. He'd simply come as an expression of the love of God for all people. And now the people he came for are passing by. The scripture says they're wagging their heads and they're saying, you fraud. You said you would destroy the temple and build it again in 3 days. Save yourself if you're the Son of God. The chief priests walked by and they mocked him and they said, he saved others himself. He cannot save. If you're the King of Israel, come down from the cross and we'll believe you. And even thieves that were crucified with him says they threw the same insults, the Gospel of Matthew tells us, in his face. And then something very traumatic happens. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, he knew this was a fulfillment of Psalm 22. Talks about God himself pouring out his wrath and turning his back on his own son. Pouring out your sin, pouring out mine, all the wrong that we've done, every way we've disobeyed God, everything that we deserve for all the wrong that we've done, every lie, every moment of lust, every moment of anger, all the bitterness, everything we've done, all the cursing that's come out of our mouths, it's all put upon Jesus Christ, and God himself turns his back on his own son. The best the world can do at this point is they take a sponge and fill it with vinegar and offer it to him. Bitterness, in a sense, of the world trying to touch his lips right to the end. I don't know what you would have done. I don't know how far your love goes. Do you think at some point he might have been tempted to stop loving? Would you be tempted to stop loving? How much of this do you think we'd be able to endure for people who just simply hate us and mock us? Then the scripture says, with a loud voice, he cried and gave up. It says gave up the ghost, but it means his spirit left his body. With a loud voice, he cried. I've always believed that in that cry was my name. In that cry was your name. In that cry were the soldiers that mocked him. In that cry was the cry for the high priest to turn. In that cry was the cry for his friend Peter and everyone else who had run and betrayed him. In that cry was a cry that even the false witnesses be reunited again with God. In that cry was whatever your name is, it was in that cry. Because there was a centurion standing there. He'd heard a lot of men die. He's so hardened, so callous, so cold to death and suffering. But he'd never heard a man cry like this. It was a cry that came so deep, it didn't come from something human. It came from something divine. And he had to have known it. Because when he saw it, when he heard it, he said, surely this was the Son of God. No man can cry like this. He cried for you. Did you know that? He called you. I believe that with all my heart, that in that cry was a call for you. 2,000 years later, he called your name, wanting you, loving you, longing for you. And the scripture says the moment he gave up the spirit, the veil in the temple. There was a veil in the Old Testament temple that separated God from the people. There was a curtain so thick you couldn't see through it. Light couldn't shine through in or out. Only one person once a year is allowed in there, and even then he had to be tied with a rope because if there was sin, he died. And God was separated from man because God is holy and man is not. And the moment Jesus died, the scripture says from the top to the bottom, that tells me it's by the hands of God, this veil was torn. In that cry was a desire of God to be reunited with us, to come to us again, to be God to us again, to have us be his people again. And the scripture, you have to picture this. In a sense, God is hidden behind a curtain. He can't come out because to come out means it's certain death in a sense for us, for God to come out and reveal himself. But once Jesus died, a way was made for you and I to come back into the presence of God again. But not so much just coming into his presence. He came to us. The scripture says this is love, not that we love God, but God loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Not only did the veil get torn in two, but the earth shook. It speaks to me of something of God shaking the whole universe. As sound as it is in the heart of God. Yes! Yes, there are people in New York City. In October. This is October, is it still? 2011, right? Am I right? There are people in New York City that are going to hear about what was done on Calvary, and they're going to respond. And the earth shook. I don't think it's just the earth. I think there was a shaking everywhere. He had finally what was close to his heart, what he loved, his creation, you, me. The possibility of being reunited with us again was very real because his son had just paid the price for our sin. And it says the rocks were torn in two, broken in two. He was so anxious to get to you, he didn't bother to go around rocks. He went through them. And it says, and graves were opened. Just passing by, cemeteries, people popped out of the grave. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. It's almost as if God said, I'm just so anxious for that day when I'm going to be able to bring people out of death and back to life. They're just passing by. People popped out of the grave, and it says their bodies of the saints that slept arose, and they went into the holy city and appeared to people. How much does God love you? How much does God want you? How special are you to God? Now, there's a soldier standing there. He's so familiar with death. He's just as hardened as I used to be when I was a cop before I got saved. And he saw these things, saw the earthquake, saw the things that were done. And it says he feared greatly and said, truly, this was the Son of God. Amazing. How much does he love you? How much was he willing to endure to get to you? He endured the spitting, the beating, the shame, the torment, the torture, the vinegar, the nails, the mockery. And he did it for you. For you. It's not a numbers game with God. It's about you. It's about individual people. He knew your name. It was in the cry. I've always believed that. It was in the cry. When he finally said, it is finished, it's done, the price is paid, you can come home, you can come back to God, you don't need to be separated from God anymore. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, God, that's how much he loves you. Now, I can tell you the story, but it has to be Jesus that makes it real to your heart tonight. It has to be Jesus that makes you want to get up and respond in your heart. I say, Lord, if you loved me that much, that you would go through all that to get me back again. And Lord, I count it a privilege to be able to open my heart and to invite you to come in, to forgive my sins. That means the wrong things that I've done against truth. And to allow you to simply be God to me, perhaps for the first time in my life. It's an amazing love. It's a love that you have to experience to understand. I can convey it to you in a few words, but you have to experience it to understand. And when you do give your life to Jesus, one of the first things that will happen is you will experience the love of God. A pure, selfless, unconditional love that will transform your life for the rest of your life and then for eternity, because he promises forgiveness, promises a new heart, he promises a new mind, he promises a new strength, he promises a new direction, he promises a new future, he promises things that can only come from God Almighty himself. He will raise you in a sense from the death of living apart from God. He'll break through anything he has to get to you. And he'll make your life a testimony that you'll be able to go to others as these did and say, I've got to tell you what Jesus did for me. As you heard tonight from the testimonies, religion can't do much, but Jesus can bring you back to life again. I want to ask tonight, I found the love of God. As a matter of fact, I love Jesus more than I ever have in my lifetime. And I'm more aware of how much he loves me than I have ever been at any time. And I'm more aware of how much he loves you than I've ever been at any time in my life. Passionately loves you. He didn't come to this world out of some legal duty. He came because he loves you. He passionately loves you. He was willing to endure everything he endured because he loves you. Because he wants you for his own. He doesn't want to be separated from you. You were created in his image. And he came to get you back. Sin stole you in the presence of God, but he came and paid the price to get you back because he loves you. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the full message of the Bible. That's what the cross is all about. That's what it means to be part of the church of Jesus Christ. I want to ask tonight, who is willing to respond? Who here is willing to say, I may not get it all, but I truly feel in my heart that this is true. Something inside of me bears witness that this is true. I remember speaking to an audience of Muslim men one time, and I said to these men, I said, now you may never have heard this before, but God says that if what I'm telling you is the truth, you will feel it inside of your heart. And men began to openly cry. Soldiers began to cry. They'd never heard it before. But something inside told them this is true. And something inside is telling you tonight this is true. And I'm going to ask you, and I'm asking on Christ's behalf, if you are willing to open the door of your heart and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The most phenomenal decision you'll ever make in your lifetime is to open your heart to the love of God. It will change you. It will give you hope and give you a future. If that's you tonight, I'm going to ask you unashamedly to just raise up your hand right now wherever you are. Just go ahead. God bless you. God bless you all over. Go ahead. Up in the balcony. Now, we're going to stand in a moment, and when we stand, I'm going to ask those who raise their hand to come and meet me here at the front of this auditorium, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. We heard tonight some people saying, I prayed this prayer, but it's nothing mystical in it. I'm just going to help you to understand what it means to give your life to Jesus Christ. And for those who should have raised your hand tonight, you're welcome to come here as well. If you brought somebody with you, and they might be afraid to make that step by themselves. You can turn to the person you brought and say, if you want to go, I'll go with you. We'll do this together. But I'm going to ask tonight, for those who raise their hand and those who want to receive the forgiveness of their sin and to understand and know the love of God and to have this future that God promises, to make your way as we stand to the front of this auditorium, and then we're going to pray together. Please, if you would stand, we'll just sing a song just for a moment. And you would join these that are coming. Please, sir, just, ma'am, just step in close. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Up in the balcony, you just go to either exit. Go to either exit in the balcony. Make your way down. If you're in the annex, make your way here. God bless you. Praise God. This is incredible. Thank you, Jesus. Young and old, rich and poor, black, brown or white, it makes no difference. If you don't feel good about yourself, that doesn't matter. Remember, Jesus died for all the people we talked about tonight. Everybody who spit on him and beat him, he died for everyone. You come. Come with your struggles. Come with your failings. Come with your flaws. Come with your problems. Come with your brokenness. And he will heal you and he will save you. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Glory to God. Up in the balcony, think about this. Think about this. Young people especially. Don't waste your life on things that don't last. Come to God tonight. Glory to God. Let's sing as these keep coming. You don't understand what's going on in heaven right now. The Bible tells us that the angels in heaven are rejoicing. You've caused a party in heaven right now. You have. You have. The Bible tells us that when he died, all the list of wrong things that you've done, when you come to him in faith, it's all put away. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, he said, I will cause myself to forget your sin. So if you stand before the throne of God one day and you start telling him how bad a life you lived and how rotten you were and everything, God will look at you and say, well, I'm going to have to take your word for it because I don't seem to remember it. He can do anything he wants to do. And he says, I will cause myself to forget. I'll put it away. Thank God. Clean. The Bible calls it born again. A new life, a new chance, a new heart. Born by the Spirit of God. Carried, lifted, changed. Not. God isn't calling us and asking us to now start doggedly trying to be holy. He said, no, just open your heart to me and I'll make you holy. I'll change you. Some of you are going to be on the mission field. It's so far away from your thinking right now, it's almost impossible. But within a year or two, suddenly this stirring, this caring about other people, things that aren't there now will be there. And it all begins by just opening the door to your heart and letting Jesus come in. And he'll take you. Your prayer doesn't have to be profound. I heard this truth when I was 24. I was a cop, and I was on my way to work, and I read the Gospel of John, and I saw it. And I still had some deep questions in my heart, but I remember pulling over on the side of the road on the way to work in uniform, putting my car in park, and I said, Jesus, if this is true, if it's true, I wasn't completely sure, but I said, God, if it is, I open my heart and give you my life. I ask you to take my life, and I ask you to save me, and I ask you to change me, and I ask you to make me into a different kind of a person. I didn't really like what I was becoming, and I didn't want to live that way any longer, and I asked you to change me and help me to be different. And I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel anything, nothing. I was zero. I went to work. I worked my regular shift, went home, went to bed. But God knows this is true. When I got up in the morning and my feet touched the floor, I knew I was a different man. I just knew it inside. He had heard me. So don't let the devil tell you this isn't real. You know, don't give in to the argument. You know, this love is for everybody but not for you. This life is for others but not. Don't buy it. Don't buy it because you pray. And he meets you right where you're at. He is God. Look, he wouldn't do all of this stuff I talked to you about tonight and then just sort of fold his arms and say, oh, I don't know about this one. I just, you know what I mean? He didn't do all of that just to sort of be like a, you know, like a scared rabbit because you've got some problems in your life. You remember he ripped the veil, broke the rocks, raised the dead, and it was for you, to get to you. He was so anxious to get to you, he did all of these things. Now you're going to pray a prayer. And the Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you'll be saved. It's that simple. You believe in your heart. Believe that he died in your place, and you give him your life and you give him your future. And you let him become God in your life. It's an amazing journey you're about to undertake. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to ask you to pray this simple prayer with me. Would you do that right now? And this is for everybody. The new life is for everybody. Pray these simple words. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. I have a lot of problems. And I've done bad things. But I understand tonight that you died for me and you paid the price for all the things I've done. You wanted to forgive me. Oh God, thank you for helping me to understand this. Tonight, Jesus, I open my heart. I trust you. I ask you to come into my life, to save me, and to be the God of my life. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I believe that you are receiving me. I believe that you are forgiving me. I believe that you have a new life, a new future, and heaven waits for me the day I die. Oh God, help me not to turn back. Help me to go forward. Help me to learn and to grow and to understand who you are, what you've done for me, and who I have become because of your life inside of me. From this day forward, I confess with my mouth that I am a follower of Jesus Christ for the rest of my life. Lead me and guide me and keep me. And I know that my sins are paid for. The devil can't condemn me anymore. The day I die, the Bible tells me I'm going to be immediately in the presence of God. Forever. Hallelujah. 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 Let's give God a shout of glory. Can we tonight? Let's just give God a shout of glory for these people. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.